Last week we talked about where the Lord was made visible to us in so many different places. We talked about how the wise man brought gifts. He opened up their treasure chest. And we talked about what our treasure chest would be, our hearts, where we offer our obedience, our love, our commitment. And last week, as I went back over and I listened to the recording from the sermon, I realized, and my wife helped me remember too, that I probably had a lot of energy last week and that I got a little loud. And she told me a couple times, she said, "You really got a little loud last week." But you know what? I thought about it and I prayed about it, and why shouldn't I have got loud? And why should I have not got loud? I mean, Jesus Christ has been revealed to all mankind, and he was revealed to mankind not just for people here or people there or people over there, but he was revealed for me. And he was revealed for you. He was revealed for all people. And God shows no partiality, as we'll hear from the book of Acts this morning. God shows no partiality. And sometimes I think it's just important to get excited about the Word of God, and excited about what he's doing in our lives, and excited about what those possibilities and that potential is in those places to where he's at work. So I won't apologize for getting loud last week. I'll say get over it, because I was excited last week and the Lord had touched my heart. And he's touched my heart to share these words today, about what it means to be in a covenantal relationship with our Heavenly Father, because he extended his hands of grace and mercy to us first. Not something that we deserved, but he extended his hands of grace and mercy to us first because he loved us. I invite you now to hear the words of Acts chapter 10, verses 34 through 43. "Then Peter began to speak to them, 'I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God." Brothers and sisters, I tell you today that it's no different than what Peter shared that the disciples heard. That we are witnesses to all that he did. We heard it in our prayer time this morning. We talked about it. Talked about those places where we've seen God. So we are witnesses to those works of Jesus Christ, our mighty Savior. And as such, as his disciples, we are commanded to preach to the people and to testify to all that he is the one ordained by God to judge the living and the dead, and that he shows no partiality, and that he chooses those who choose him. Those who are willing to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior are acceptable in his eyes, and they're offered that same grace and mercy which we have already received. Today we celebrate the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ. We acknowledge the grace and mercy that our Heavenly Father showed to us by first extending his hands of grace and mercy and extending to us the holy sacraments. We give thanks to God while offering our commitment, while offering our obedience. And as we think about what it means, the scripture just talked about how John had spoke of the one he had baptized, the works that he had seen. And when we talk about the word baptism, one of the things that comes to mind is a promise or a covenant, if you will. God extends his grace and mercy to us. God offers something to us. God gives us something. And in return, we offer to be changed. We offer to be obedient. We offer to be committed. So it's a covenant. It's a promise.
It's an agreement. Any way you look at it, it's about a two-way communication. Baptism, the baptism of Jesus Christ, was not single-sided. Jesus didn't receive the baptism and stop right there. We know that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, descended upon him like a dove coming from the heavens above. And it didn't stop there. What happened after Jesus was baptized? His ministry went into full swing, and he did this, he did that. He went about healing people and offering hope and offering forgiveness. He went about the business of the Son of God. And he did this after he received his baptism. So today, let's think about the promise that we entered into. Let's think about the commitment that we made. So promises, contracts, pinky swears if you're a kid, whatever the case is. Let me ask you, and don't raise your hand, please, because I don't want to know. Have you ever broken one? Have you ever broken a promise, a contract, or a pinky swear that you've made with your kid? Really? Have you indicated your intent to do something, but you didn't follow through with it? You failed to do it. Well, how did that make you feel? How did it make you feel when you look back and say, you know what, I promised to do that, but I didn't do it. I didn't want to do it, or I forgot about it, or it wasn't convenient for me at the time to carry it out, so I didn't do it. And I guess the real measure there as to where we are is, did you feel like it wasn't a big deal? Oh, well, I'll make up for it the next time. That shouldn't have depended on me anyway. Or did you think, you know what, I really let somebody down? But on the other side of that, what if you were the one that was hurt because somebody did not carry their promise out to you? How did you feel? Were you happy with the commitment that the other person had? Especially if you really depended on them to get something done, how did it make you feel when they didn't carry out their end of the deal, their end of the bargain? But the thing I would say this morning, I think we've all fallen short of expectations at times and fallen short of the commitments that we made. Because I won't even say probably. I know that we have all had situations in the past where we have either forgot to do something or intentionally avoided doing something for some reason. And it could have been something as simple as cleaning our room or picking up the groceries or taking out the trash. Or it could have been something more severe, like a contract we had at work, vows that we have taken for a variety of reasons. But I guess what concerns me most is that we all at some point have violated or not been obedient in the contract, the agreement, the vows that we took at our baptism, in our spiritual lives. We have fallen short at times in the covenant that we made with the Creator of all mankind, the Giver of life, the Sustainer of life, and the Author of salvation. We have fallen short in those places at times. Now how do you feel? How do you feel knowing that maybe we have not been as obedient to the one who offered his life as a living sacrifice for you and me? That hung him on a cross to die for forgiveness of our sins and to offer salvation, and yet there are places to where we have not held up our end of the deal. How does that make you feel? During the Lenten season, when we come around to that, we talk about, well, let's never crucify Christ again. He's been crucified one time for us, so let's don't ever crucify him again. But brothers and sisters, there are people every day that still crucify Jesus Christ. We do it every time we're disobedient. We do it every time we don't uphold our end of the covenant. The words of Acts this morning, when Peter said, offer us so much insight into the love and grace of our Heavenly Father and our Almighty Savior Jesus Christ. And one of the things that we're real quick to pick out of that scripture is this. The thing that we know is that our God, our Creator, His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, show no partiality. They show no partiality against those who earnestly seek to repent of their sins and to accept Jesus Christ in their heart. One thing that we know is this, is that they don't have that partiality in the waters of the baptism, the holy sacrament of baptism. The invitation into this covenant is available to all and open to all who seek a relationship with Jesus Christ. Essentially, those waters stand ready for all who have accepted, are willing to accept, or are curious about a relationship with Jesus Christ and the promised change in life that it leads to. That's what we offer in return. But think about what Peter said, that word partiality. That can be a hard word to live out. It's an easy word to read in the Scriptures. But to hear Peter say, I truly understand that God shows no partiality. Those are pretty strong words. Do we believe it? Do we believe it? Can we go about the business of the church and our lives as Christians, our spiritual journeys, believing that God shows no partiality? And if we truly believe it as Peter did, then we must live it out. So therefore, the church, baptism, Holy Communion, forgiveness, salvation, all of those things are available to all people who walk the face of the earth, regardless of what they look like, regardless of their residency status, regardless of what crimes they've committed, regardless of their beliefs, their practices, their actions, as long as they are willing to make the promise to grow in the faith. And to be no longer that person they were before baptism, and to lead that changed life going forward. That God's grace and God's mercy is available to all people. But we can't take our baptism and say, you know what, got it, check it off, that's a merit badge, I'll put it on my chest, yes, I've been baptized. And then I'll go on about my life doing what I've been doing all along. That's not the right answer. We have vows that we take at our baptism. It says, we will. We agree. And every time we baptize somebody in this church, you as a congregation agree to help them along the way. To hold them accountable. To help them understand what it means to lead that changed Christian life. Now understand, I am not saying that we are to judge. That's not our place. We're not saying we are to judge. What I'm saying is that we help people be accountable to the covenant that we make with our baptismal vows. We're not the judge. God alone stands as the judge and that decision maker. We hear what Peter said about Christ, is that that he is the judge of the living. And he's also that model of love in which we attempt to live. But we made the promise when we accepted our baptismal vows to live a life no longer as we had in the past, but rather to be obedient in love and in forgiveness and to make disciples. We are to love God with all of our heart and all of our soul. We are to love our neighbors. We're to go forth and make disciples, that they will be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, that they will be able to experience those living waters which we have received. We as United Methodists, when we take our vows to join the church, we promise our physical presence, our spiritual presence, our prayers, our witness, our giving, and our mission. Brothers and sisters, we made a promise. We made a promise. So what I say this morning, or ask, and I ask you to pray over and reflect over this week, what did the waters of baptism hold for you? What did the waters of baptism hold for you? What did it mean? How has your life been changed? And how do you choose to live out that change that was brought about because of baptism? What will you do with the gifts of grace and mercy that God gave you because He loved you, not because you deserved it? Today I invite you as a body of Christ to participate faithfully in this covenant renewal service. And when we're done here today, boldly go forth with the Holy Spirit in your hearts and a story to tell with your lips. That's what we're charged with as His disciples. And I really don't think that's much to ask for the one who sent His Son to die that we might be forgiven, and to rise again that we might have our salvation. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.